You know, I sometimes wonder if folks in the Gospels, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, or even the disciples, I sometimes wonder if they ever regret asking Jesus questions or even speaking around him. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like this, but I had a teacher in high school who was really easy to distract. So easy that whenever we didn't feel like doing any work, one of the other kids in class would ask a question, and we knew that we were good for at least a half hour of distraction based on the tangent that our teacher would take. That's kind of how it feels where we're at in the gospel this morning, where we picked up this reading. Jesus is partway through a long speech that spans two whole chapters in the Gospel of Luke. Except Jesus is anything but distracted. His words are direct and pointed, and I'm sure they've made more than one person a little uncomfortable. In this section that began with the gospel reading for last Sunday, Jesus is standing in the middle of the crowd when someone mutters, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Hearing those words, Jesus doesn't reply, but instead launches into this long speech that spans those two chapters and gives us five parables, one right after another. The parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost coin, which were both in last Sunday's readings. The parable of the lost son, or the prodigal son, which our lectionary has skipped right over. The parable of the dishonest or shrewd manager, which we just read this morning. And then the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, which we would typically read next Sunday if we weren't observing the feast of St. Michael and All Angels. You'd think by now that folks would begin to clue in that whenever they ask a question or make a comment around Jesus, they always get more than they bargained for. And today's parable is no exception. In this case, the grumbling over the Pharisees and the scribes over the sinners that Jesus was eating with was all Jesus needed in order to tell some parables on two of his favorite topics, money and relationships. Now, I'm not going to pretend that this parable this morning is an easy one to understand. Lines like, "Make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it's gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes," rightly make us stop and ask why Jesus is advocating using dishonest money. Nor am I going to tell you that there's one set meaning to this parable, or to any parable for that matter, because there isn't. The beauty of parables is that every time we unwrap them, we find something different. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So what does this parable have for us this morning? Jesus is telling this story in the midst of a really complicated and conflictual social and economic system. In first century Palestine, Jesus, his disciples, and their kin are living under Roman occupation. And Roman occupation is not an easy thing to endure. And its whole system is based on accumulating wealth for Roman citizens through conquering lands and then exploiting their natural resources and exploiting or enslaving their people. In this system, the rich pay little to no taxes, and they live in luxury in cities in the south in Judea, cities like Jerusalem or Bethlehem. And while the poor pay incredibly high rates of taxation, and they live in the north, in Galilee, where they work hard on the farm or in fishing or other resource-based economies. And what would happen is that these poor farmers and fishermen in the north couldn't afford the taxation rates that the Romans would set for them. They just didn't have that kind of cash lying around. So their wealthy countrymen would come up from the south and meet with them and offer to pay the Roman taxes on their behalf if they would sell them the farm and become tenant farmers, working to produce things like olive oil and wine and wheat that they would then pay as tribute to these wealthy countrymen who would take all of that produce back down south and sell it to the Romans for 3, 4, 5 times the price. So as you can imagine, these rich folks in the city were too afraid to travel up north to collect the fees from the tenant farmers themselves because of how hated they were for this system. So they'd employ middle managers to do that work for them. So now we've met all the characters in the parable. The rich man who lives a luxurious life far away from the folks who actually generate his wealth. The manager who does his dirty work for him. And the debtors, all those tenant farmers who used to own their land but don't anymore because of the system of taxation. So, there was a rich man who had a manager. And the rich man was mad at the manager because he was squandering his property. The manager wasn't squeezing as much profit out of those lazy farmers as the rich man thought he should be. So he hauls the manager into his office and says, "You're fired. But before you can go, you have to bring me all of the account books so I can see just where you haven't been getting enough out of those farmers." Now the manager is worried. He's probably terrified. He's suddenly realized just how expendable he is. He's spent the last goodness knows how long working for the rich man, and now, just like that, he's tossed out. So what does he do? He switches sides. He's done with working for the rich. He sees the injustice of that economic system, realizes how little it has done for him, and decides to switch sides so that at least he'll have some friends. So he takes the time he's been given by his master's request to produce the books, and he travels up to the firms one by one and calls everyone into the office. "How much do you owe?" 100 jugs of olive oil. "Make it 50. "How much do you owe?" 100 containers of wheat. "Make it 80. This is huge. These folks have just had their debt halved, and it could very well be life-altering for them. With very little effort and even less cost to himself, the manager has begun to realize that money isn't everything, that it's better to use money in the service of relationships than to use relationships in the service of money. Because money can cause us to improperly value things, whether it be resources or people. This weekend and next, for example, hundreds of thousands of people have gathered or will be gathering in cities around the world for climate strikes. They're protesting inaction on climate change and what's happening in our world. And climate change is one of the things that we can point to see what happens when we improperly value things, when we put short-term profit over sustainability, when we look at nature and see dollar signs rather than the beautiful world that God has called us to steward. And this happens with people, too. Sweatshops that exploit people in horrendous conditions for pennies a day, just so that we can have a $2 t-shirt. Families that end up fracturing over property disputes. Jesus seems to be reminding us that it's better to use money to serve our relationships than to use relationships to serve money. So where does that leave us with the manager? Is Jesus suggesting through this parable that we use other people's money to buy friends? Probably not. But Jesus is reminding us that everything we have is actually given to us to steward by God. And that when we're making decisions about how and what to do with that, we need to remember God's value system and not let money or things come in the way of our relationships, of our interconnectedness with God and all of God's creation. God's economic and social system values people and places a priority on relationships. The kingdom of God is so completely opposite the Roman imperial system that exploits resources and exploits people, because it reminds us that we are all interconnected, that my life is tied up with yours and with your neighbors and with our neighbors on the other side of the world, and that our actions here with each other can have lasting effects around the world and through time. God's value system boils down to two things. Love God. Love our neighbors. Because there is no commandment greater than these. Amen.